I'm Scott O'Neill, and I'd like to welcome you to Introspective. Please join us now for the next 60 minutes as we discuss topics of interest that affect each of our lives. And now, your host for Introspective, Craig Johnson.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Introspective. At the top of the hour, we're going to be interviewing Andy Comiskey from Desert Stream Ministries. On the half hour, as our schedule is, we're going to go to Open Phone California. Let me give you the number now. Our topic is homosexuality and the Christian. Get your calls in early, 818-762-5552. That's 818-762-KKLA. And without any further ado, my friend and guest tonight, Andy Comiskey. Welcome, Andy. Are you going to say hello?
Yeah. Thank you.
Andy is a little tired tonight, folks. Pray for him.
I'm going to sort of slump over on the table.
Welcome, Andy. I hope stay awake, buddy. Would you?
I will. Praise God. I'm awake in Jesus' name.
Andy, what is Desert Stream Ministries?
Desert Stream is a ministry that functions in the Southern California area and involves primarily Christians who consider themselves Christians who are struggling homosexually and who are trying to figure out where Jesus enters in and makes a difference in terms of their sexuality. And so it's a counseling ministry, it's a support ministry, it's an education ministry, helping the church to learn how to better minister to its members who have homosexual tendencies and who want to know how Jesus makes a difference.
Now, you founded Desert Stream, was it 6 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
What is your background? Where do you come from?
Well, I come from a homosexual background, and that's what primarily motivated me into wanting to help other people in the same way that I had found help within the body of Christ, the same healing that I had discovered and the new way of seeing that came over a period of months that turned into years as I sought redemption in Christ. And I knew that there had to be other people like me, that I had sincerely sought the Lord in the face of my homosexuality. I had accepted Him. I had come to the recognition that homosexuality was not what He wanted. And yet at the same time, I knew that I needed real support and that everything was not perfect sexually simply because I had made a Christian commitment, but that I needed the body of Christ, and in turn, Desert Stream arose to help other people in my own position get that support.
That must be an intense struggle. For some reason, in the body of Christ, homosexuality is spotlighted as a sin or a problem that is bigger than other problems. Mm-hmm. Why do you think the hatred and the interest in that way?
Oh, that's a good question. I think a lot of it stems from ignorance and ascribing an unusual amount of magnitude to the homosexual problem, implying that homosexuals are aggressive and seductive and are insidiously undermining America's best interests, you know, that kind of rhetoric. And I think what it really boils down to is a misunderstanding as to what the homosexual problem is, the basic sincerity that is as common to homosexuals as heterosexuals, and not really understanding that, really having a lot of misconceptions as to what the problem is.
I've got a quote here. One of your voluminous papers
that people can
what did I say? Get the dictionary out, folks. Check that.
Yeah.
But you have a paper, Homosexuality in the Church, Relational Problem, Relational Solution, where you say, quote, Christians must face and ultimately forsake the fear and pride and ignorance which magnifies the homosexual's error as greater than their own.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a fear is there in people when they meet a brother or sister in Christ that has struggled in that area?
Mm-hmm.
Take that a little deeper in your
answer. Okay. Well, I think it destabilizes individuals who are probably somewhat insecure in their own sexuality. When they're dealing with someone who has feelings and maybe even behaviors, sexual behaviors toward the same sex, I think it can push a button deep within those people who are insecure about their own identities, especially men. Men have a much more difficult time in dealing with homosexuals than women, and it seems to me to have something to do with the way in which male heterosexuals affirm their own identity, and that is by not being gay. If I'm not gay, if I don't appear gay, if people are sure that I'm not, then I'm a real man. Mm-hmm. And so when they're faced with someone who is struggling homosexually, I think for some it really pushes a button that causes them to be insecure.
Fear.
Fear, right, about their own gender security.
Desert Stream Ministries, if someone were to come to one of your meetings, I mean, are we going to see tambourines, overweight Pentecostal women? What kind of kind of environment is there? Should someone be afraid to come to Desert Stream? I'm trying to keep you awake here, Pat.
Yes, right. No, that's very funny about the overweight Pentecostal women.
Thank you. I know that's why I said it.
Yeah.
Forgive us, people. Forgive us.
Right.
Go ahead, Andy.
There's different group formats that we use. And one of the most common ones is an open-ended group where people could come in. Many people that come in are not really sure, you know, if they even really want to change, you know, what this is all about. It's a new concept to them that you can be in a Christian group and actually be making real progress towards change, sexually speaking. So many will come in and just kind of check things out and see, you know, come and see, what is it? What's going on here? What kind of a hope is there? And it's a casual and relaxed environment where people can come in and hear from other people, hear their own testimonies, receive prayer at a deep level regarding their sexuality, and also hear the scripture applied specifically to the redemption that's in Christ for the homosexual.
I want to really hit the root of the problem now. Coming from a biblical perspective, how do you view sexuality in general and its present expression in the world?
Well, its present expression is in most ways a distorted one, because we all are victims of the fall, and that impacts our sexuality. And so whether the expression is heterosexual or homosexual, we've all fallen, and none of us have a perfectly realized sense as to how to truly love each other, which is a function of our sexuality. As it regards homosexuality, I think it's clear in Scripture that homosexuality is outside of God's intent. It was not His creative intent, as evinced by the Genesis account. And so when we're looking at that profound urge and yearning to bond with the same sex, we're looking at a distortion. We're looking at a kind of disorder that is but one of many representations of our sexual fallenness.
You say creative intent. Are you talking about biblical order in the book of Genesis?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about how God's version of humanity is expressed in the duality of male and female. And that in Genesis 2 is described in terms of Adam and Eve joining together in a one-flesh union, and that being the basis for genital sexuality and emotional bonding and that sort of thing. In Genesis 3, with the fall, man lost sight of God, lost sight of what his real needs were in relationship to his other, in terms of male-female relating, and from that, many possibilities, homosexuality being one, emerges.
I noticed in your book New Testament, or your paper New Testament View of Sexuality, you say, quote, "But a sinner is shaped within a fallen society. Our sexual identities are often tainted, our activity misdirected. We need sexual redemption." Mm-hmm. So since sexuality is such a strikes so deeply at our identities, mm-hmm. To what degree can we be guilty of overemphasizing homosexuality as someone's struggle mm-hmm. when they come to church? This guy mm-hmm. may be delivered from this guy mm-hmm. may be getting free from that. Mm-hmm. What type of healing is necessary in a sexual struggle more than say an alcoholic problem or some other mm-hmm. emotional stress?
Well, two things there. First of all, because our sexuality is so deep and is so much a part of who we are in relationship to other people, it's obvious that if we take seriously our Christianity and the redemption of our identities, that's going to have a deep impact upon our sexuality, and that can't be underestimated. At the same time, I think before any kind of real transition can occur in the life of a Christian homosexual, there is a need for a real dynamic relationship with the Lord, one that is equally profound to meet the depth of their sexual struggle. And so I think it has to be in the perspective of a real vital relationship with Christ, or else we may be asking too much. And so I think that the first priority is a person becoming grounded in a dynamic union with Christ. And out of that, redemption of sexuality and other things, I think, comes to play.
Now, you're the founder of Desert Stream. You're a member, board member, aren't you, of Exodus International, mm-hmm. Homosexuals Anonymous. How unique is Desert Stream's ministry in Exodus and Homosexuals Anonymous? There's obviously a great need, but... mm-hmm. Are they just a few handful organizations?
They're growing. Exodus is a nationwide coalition of ministries, and the work of Exodus is growing, which is a good thing because a new ministry starting out obviously needs real support in starting out. So I would say that in most of the major cities, there's one such ministry, and it's continuing to grow. I would say there's still... there's a lot more long way to go in terms of visibility, in terms of reaching more people. But we've only been around 10 years, and so I think we have yet to see all that these kinds of ministries can do. But there's more of them than one would think. Mm-hmm.
Again, my guest tonight is Andy Comiskey. I'm Craig Johnson, and you're listening to Introspective on KKLA 99.5. Again, Open Phone California on the half hour. The number is 818-762-5552. We only have a few lines, so if it's busy when you call, just call back. Also, I want to tell our Introspective fans, friends, whatever you would be called, that we're going to be sending out our first Introspective newsletter, giving you an update on the ministry at Bethel Christian Fellowship and who our guests are, and also some listeners' mail, and we have some satirical cartoons, and we're going to have fun, Andy. You should get on the mailing list. If you're interested in getting on the mailing list, when you call, Dawn is at the phones looking bored, as she did last week, waiting for your telephone calls. If you're interested in getting our newsletter, just give your name and address, and we'll definitely get in touch with you along those lines. Andy, I want us to deal right now with the basic presuppositions. We've got one extreme of more or less liberal or liberated type gay identity group that would somehow interpret the Bible in a way that would make homosexuality normative, in fact, just another sexual alternative. Then we have another extreme camp of individuals that are conservative that almost think that homosexuality or homosexuals is not redemptive whatsoever, mm-hmm. or not redeemable. Mm-hmm. What about these two polarizations? How do we deal with them?
Well, I think
that was a long question.
It was. You described it so beautifully, I'd just like you to keep going with
Thank
that.
Thank you. Yeah, so you can nap. Go ahead.
Right.
This is hot seat tonight. I don't know where Wally is, but...
I think that the only way to bridge the gap is to offer redemption, is to encounter the homosexual with the reality that his homosexual status is not... is not a given that cannot be changed, and that Jesus has something dynamic and vital for him or her beyond their homosexuality. And unless that can be ministered to people and that truth substantiated, then we'll continue to ping-pong between the two extremes that you've just said. And so the real center then that the church needs to start offering people is real redemption sexually. Either one is non-redemptive. What you've just described is non-redemptive, whether it's a naive acceptance or this harsh, you know, hands-off kind of an approach.
What about the hermeneutical issue, the interpretive issue? There are various texts in Scripture, which I'm sure most people have heard. I've heard Wally pound a few of them down on his show. Genesis 17, the passages in Leviticus, 1 Corinthians 6, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. How are these... texts watered down or in any way altered in order to make homosexuality more acceptable in certain communities?
Well, I would say that the text that has probably gotten the most mileage in the pro-gay, from the pro-gay point of view, would be Genesis 19, which talks about the story of Sodom. Now, I want to preface that by saying that I don't think that chapter 19 is that good of a text to use in pointing out the error of homosexuality, because although the sin of homosexuality is mentioned there, the primary error of Sodom is talked about in Ezekiel 16, verses 49 and 15, which talks about the deeper themes, the pride of life, the refusal to deal with the poor, the underlying societal decadence out of which homosexuality was simply a symptom, you see. So I don't even think the primary sin of Sodom was homosexuality, although it was obvious that it was a part of it because the angels attempted to, or the men of the city attempted to seduce the angels. It came down to warn Lot. What the pro-gay people do is to say that God decided to wreak havoc on the city because the men were inhospitable, which is simply a poor understanding of the scripture and is really drawn out of context. Again, what I go back to in looking at a sound theology of sexuality is to see what God's creative intent is, and that is that men and women realize their capacity to relate to the opposite sex as a needed counterpart. And that, to me, is fundamental. The references in the New Testament in Romans 1, verses 16 through 32, which talk about man's tendency to focus off of himself and off of God and onto the creature, that text deals then with one of the obvious symptoms of that being homosexuality. That an extreme example of man focusing off the Creator and onto himself is in the form of homosexuality. And that's also talked about in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, where Paul, it's a very interesting passage because Paul is exhorting the church and he's saying, these are the things within which you have found your identity. Whether it's homosexuality, whether it's idolatry, whether it's in covetousness, whether it's in being a drunk. And then he says to the church, and such were some of you, but you are washed, you are justified, you are sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what he is essentially saying to the church at Corinth, which was full of sexual perversion, it's nothing new, is that don't seek this as your identity anymore. Because you now have a new point of reference in Christ, and that is what you have to hang on to. And that is so relevant, I think, to the redemption that many people who are homosexual are seeking within the church, that does not have to be their primary identity, and that Christ indeed offers something better.
Now, I know, Andy, that you have a multimedia presentation called Homosexuality and the Grace of God. If an organization wants you to come and speak, how would they get in touch? Well, I've got the address, how to get in touch with you, but tell us a little bit about this presentation.
Well, what we're doing more and more is availing ourselves to churches who really want to be better able to deal with homosexuality. I think many churches simply don't know what to do, and it's not out of a lack of compassion. They simply just don't know. It's out of the realm of the pastor's experience. And so what we do is we come into churches with a team of people who have come out of homosexuality. We show a 40-minute multimedia presentation. It's a beautiful presentation that deals with the different questions that homosexuality raises to the church and describes the lives of individuals who have come through Desert Stream and how they've changed and how in turn a church can begin to operate in the same way. And so we offer some teaching, testimony, ministry to people who want it, all toward the goal of equipping that church to be better able to deal with its own members homosexually. And so if a group wants us to come out, we will do so. And it's just a matter of calling Desert Stream and arranging a time that is best for them that we can come to as well.
Let me give the address now. Andy Comiskey, Desert Stream Ministries, 1415 Santa Monica Mall, Suite 201, Santa Monica, California, 90401. We'll give this many times before we go off the air. They can actually call you at the Vineyard also at 213-458-1811. Now, you're functioning under the covering of the Vineyard Christian Fellowship.
Right, and I'm a pastor at the Vineyard of Santa Monica.
Mm.
So we work together. Desert Stream is its own organization, but it works under the spiritual covering, if not the corporate one, of the Vineyard.
Let's address an issue that seems to be the issue today, namely AIDS. I know at Desert Stream, Jonathan Hunter has a unique ministry to AIDS patients. Mm-hmm. Give us a little background and how is that working out?
It's working out real well. Jonathan got a burden about a year ago to begin dealing with the calls that Desert Stream started getting from concerned family members and pastors and all who were saying, look, there's this guy who has AIDS, and what are we supposed to do about him? You know, fraught with fear, but mm-hmm. but really wanting some kind of Christian response. And so Jonathan has, over that year's time, gathered a group of people who have a similar burden, who will go out to pray in hospitals, who will provide spiritual support, who will provide a great deal of prayer, and just ongoing follow-up with them as they go through the tragedy of that disease. And the ministry's name, it's under the auspice of Desert Stream, but the ministry's name is ARM, AIDS Resource Ministry. And it seeks, like Desert Stream, to provide educational materials for churches, as well as to actually come alongside of those individuals who are in hospitals in need of some real support.
Mm-hmm.
The support is so necessary if you've followed anyone through the course of the disease, which is one of the ugliest.
It's devastating. I know Jonathan, I was just reading one of the newsletters he'd put out, and he was pointing out the importance of helping the patient relate to loved ones. And you're really helping at the core level, the base level of mm-hmm. helping a human being mm-hmm. relate. Mm-hmm. I noticed for a Christian audience listening here, Jonathan had stressed that a lot of Christians going in visiting AIDS patients are putting such an emphasis on healing and praying for physical healing mm-hmm. that they almost jeopardize the person's relationship with the Lord, focusing them on that. Have you had mm-hmm. trouble in that mm-hmm. area?
A little bit. What Jonathan is referring to there is that unless the individual understands that physical healing is not necessarily going to occur and completely eradicate the disease, then when the healing does not occur, they have an understanding that God wants to reconcile himself to them, but not necessarily cure them physically. So it's just a matter of having a realistic expectation so that they can continue to grow spiritually with God. We know that he wants to reconcile himself to us and to the AIDS patient. And if physical healing issues forth, that's wonderful, and we praise him for it. But if it doesn't occur, they can continue to grow in relationship with him and go home.
You're speaking of sexual redemption tonight. Is there a problem with many people in maybe becoming a Christian, going to a church, being afraid to admit that you've had a struggle in that area, and just ignoring your problem or living mm-hmm. with it for the rest of your life? Mm-hmm. Is your goal at Desert Stream to bring people into a healthy heterosexual frame of reference? What is mm-hmm. your basic goal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would ultimately be the goal. It's a process that involves various stages, depending upon the degree of involvement homosexually. So the course is going to be very different for a person who, say, as a Christian, has never even acted out homosexually, but has always had the struggle, as opposed to someone who has been in the thick of, you know, the gay lifestyle. But ultimately, our goal would be to bring a person to the place where he or she has the option of relating heterosexually. At that point, they may not pursue it, and as you well know, one does not have to be married to be a whole person within the body of Christ. But I think it is God's will that each person have the choice, the real choice, and not have to be celibate by default. And so our goal would be to help people realize that capacity in themselves.
Once again, I know I'm quoting you a lot tonight, but on your paper that I quoted from previously, you said, quote, "I firmly believe that the disorder of a homosexual orientation is not consciously chosen by an individual. As such, he or she must not be held responsible for having homosexual feelings any more than heterosexuals are accountable for their orientation. At the same time, the homosexual, like heterosexuals, is responsible for what he or she does with those desires," unquote. Expand on that.
Well, sexual orientation is deeply rooted into from you know, infancy on in the life of any human being, and as a result, the whatever tendencies we have, heterosexual or homosexual, cannot be ascribed to mere choice, as if, you know, we're completely blank until the age of 12, and then we choose to be homosexual or heterosexual. So when I talk about no conscious choice, I think individuals do not consciously choose to have homosexual feelings. They simply do. And the cutting edge question then becomes, what am I going to do with these feelings? And where the element of willed sin comes in is when a person says, I have these feelings and I'm going to do what I want with them. I'm going to take on a homosexual identity and begin acting out a gay lifestyle. At that point, a person is determining presumptuously what he or she is going to do with those feelings over and against God's will. So you either have the choice of building a lifestyle around those feelings or submitting them to God for restoration.
Before we go to the phones, I want to ask you personally, where you're married, you have two kids, where do you feel that you're at now in your Christian development? Do you feel you're still on the cutting edge since it's been years since you were involved in that lifestyle? Or have you pretty much been transfigured beyond your former life?
Well, you see me glowing now.
Yes, I see the halo.
I consider that a transfiguration.
The tongues of fire I knew were acute. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about myself at this point. No, I would say I've come a long way, and I feel very resolved in my heterosexual identity. I feel like I become more and more resolved as time goes on. It was a new thing getting involved with a woman and to the point of marriage. And at that point in time, I wasn't having any problem with homosexual behavior. I haven't in 7 or 8 years. But the feelings have been something that have lessened over time and growing into my heterosexuality and just, you know, like a pair of old shoes, you know, being not something that I'm really conscious of, but I'm just sort of wearing well.
Is your wife listening to that?
No, not my wife being a pair of old shoes. You know? She was one of those old Pentecostal women in the meetings.
Really,
you know,
with the tambourine.
Barking at people, yeah. I mean, that's her. I mean, come on, let's call a spade a spade. But
we love you Pentecostal women out there tonight, by the way.
Yes, right. But no, what I'm referring to is getting integrated, I guess, that becoming a more of a natural part of me.
Yeah,
and I'd say that's pretty well established right now. And so I don't think about it that much. It's not something that requires a great deal of energy or consciousness because I feel pretty resolved in it.
Well, we're ready to go to the phones. We're going to take your phone calls. We've got a few lines lighting up. The number is 818-762-5552. You're listening to KKLA 99.5 FM. I'm Craig Johnson. The program is Introspective. Our guest is Andy Comiskey, founder of Desert Stream Ministries. Get your calls in now. I do want to mention again, starting tonight, we're going to be offering for our listeners tapes of the Introspective programs. I'm going to give you an address right now where you can write. If you're interested in getting a tape of tonight, the number is I-200, Introspective 200, and you write to Introspective 29169 West Heathercliff Road, Malibu, California, 90265, or you can call 213-457-3741, and for a $5 donation, we'll send that right out to you. That's Introspective 29169 West Heathercliff Road, Malibu, California, 90265. The phone number, 818. I'm rattling off this information, aren't I, Andy? Andy's going to sleep in the tea here.
I am going to sleep.
I've got to poke fun at someone. Walden's not here. There's no one here. In fact, what if we invite audiences down here? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. They're going to. David just choked himself in the booth. No.
David just went down.
Yeah, that's it. Goodbye, Dave.
Yeah.
I do want to mention that part of our program is underwritten by Wogan Chiropractic Offices in Encino, California. And do look that up in the book if you need your back cracked. I understand your wife's back went out, Andy. In fact, maybe you should go see Dr. Wogan. Here we go to the phones. And we've got Mary Ann from Los Angeles, a question for Andy Comiskey. Go ahead, Mary Ann.
Hi. Yes, my question basically, let's see if I can phrase this okay, is the kind of approach, I'm a Christian, the kind of approach I should take for my friend who is really on that edge of knowing that, you know, he has homosexual tendencies, you know, or desires, and he's had like a kind of a religious upbringing, but I don't really know if he's ever really had a born-again, you know, experience. And I'm just wondering, do you approach him with, you know, look, it says in the Bible it's a sin, or do you approach him with, you know, his salvation first, that he really needs, you know, to know the Lord? And
good question.
If I phrased it right.
I think that in terms of encouraging him to ultimately get help for change in coming out of homosexuality would be something that would come after making a deeper commitment to Christ. And yet at the same time, I think that it certainly would not hurt. I take it that he has talked with you himself about his homosexuality.
Right.
He has let you know about it and all. Now, is he talking to you about it in terms of his desire to step out and take on that lifestyle?
No, that's what the interesting thing is that, you know, he basically, intellectually, I believe, I mean, in his mind, mm-hmm. he's seeing whatever the futility of the lifestyle mm-hmm. that, you know, I mean, he couldn't, it'd be horrible for his family to know, and, you know, that whole mm-hmm. thing, that he sees that it isn't a satisfying lifestyle, blah, 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 mm-hmm. and, I mean, he has, you know, he wants to be married and have the two kids and, you know, the whole thing, mm-hmm. but, you know, that's intellectually,
okay.
and then he still has, you know, but he's just really in that,
that kind of
real beginning
uncertainty,
kind of
yeah.
kind of, I like, you know, I mean, you know, he still like, he dates women and the whole thing, but.
Thank you for your call, Marianne. Do give us a list of do's and don'ts of how people should treat friends or relatives. What are just some
okay.
basics?
Okay. Well, I think what Marianne has suggested, and it's a real good thing to keep in mind, is that she is obviously seeing this person as more than just a homosexual, but as someone whom she cares about, and the homosexuality is simply a part of who he is not fundamentally become who he is. And so I think that it's good to see a person and not a homosexual. I think it's important as well to see that no one person can be the primary motivating factor behind that person seeking change. That has to come from the individual, him or herself. What can be helpful for people that are at that point of indecision, such as what Marianne described, is to let people know that there is a way out and that there are real flesh and blood people who are walking out of homosexuality. That in and of itself may be a new piece of information, because so much of what you hear on the media is that people can't change and it's futility to try. So is doing with their sexuality. And another point that Marianne alluded to, which is vital, is that even if someone has some kind of a nominal Christian background, it's very important that an individual see the need in the face of their homosexuality for a deeper relationship with God. There's a greater need for this mercy and this power beyond oneself in order to actually, you know, surmount a problem the size of homosexuality. So it can actually be a good opportunity. The presence of homosexual tendencies can, in fact, be a good opportunity for individuals to seek the Lord more earnestly and to discover a deeper relationship with Him.
Again, Andy Comiskey, our guest. The phone number is 818-762-5552, and we have no callers right now, so it's your opportunity to call. Andy, I want to just digress for a minute and discuss sexuality in general with mm-hmm. reference to the Bible. Mm-hmm. To a new Christian, to someone who's just wondering, I mean, I've heard so many people say, well, yeah, I'd think about God if I just didn't have to give up sex.
Mm-hmm.
What does the Bible say, and is it as rigid as people think?
Well, I think the Bible recognizes that our sexuality is a lot more than a few genital behaviors. Sexuality has to do with our desire to commune with another person, to know and to be known by them. And that's a God-given part of our humanity. You know, we would be fools to try to strip that or repent of it, because it has to do with the impetus behind our relationships.
The image of God. Where is the involvement of the image of God in our human sexuality?
Well, the image of God is posited in humankind as male and female. And that's very clear in Genesis 1, 27, that God created man not simply as this isolated individual, but as a male seeking a female seeking a male, and the image of God is embodied in that union. And so that's a good thing, and we need to have a positive view of sexuality upon which to look at the distortions that come forth. I think the one thing that the Scripture points to, both in the Old and the New Testament, is that when sexuality is being expressed outside of God's intent, its power is such that it can become an idol. It can become idolatrous. And the effect of that can be a profound bondage. In both the Old and the New Testaments, there are examples of occultic and cult practices that were actually founded upon the worship of sexuality. So if we seek sexual wholeness outside of God, then we're probably going to result in the kind of idolatry that can be a bondage. But it in and of itself, it isn't. It simply needs to be submitted to he who called it forth in the first place.
So you're saying that the various verses or the commandments of God are more or less a healthy corral in which to function, rather than these prescriptive laws of an angry judge who doesn't want anyone to have any fun.
Yeah, yeah, because he called it forth initially, and that's the bottom line.
We have Jane from Los Angeles. And again, the number is 818-762-5552. My guest is Andy Comiskey. The subject is homosexuality and the Christian. Jane, your question.
Yes, my question is, what does the Bible state about transsexuality? And are there scriptures or anything? You know, what does God say about that?
Actually, the scripture does not refer specifically to transsexuality. There's a reference in, I believe it's, I want to say Deuteronomy, but I don't have the specific reference to the error of cross-dressing, which would have more to do with transvestitism. Transsexuality is a problem where individuals actually feel that they are of the opposite gender, whereas cross-dressing does not necessarily imply that. So there isn't anything fundamental in Scripture that points to that, but I think that we can infer from Scripture that God does have a stake in our gender identities, so that if an individual is born a male or born a female, it is important that each come to realize a felt sense of their own maleness or femaleness in regards to their biological gender, and that is part of being created in the image of God. And so that if an individual, due to early childhood experience and just a very deep learning process, comes to perceive him or herself as being of the opposite gender, I feel that is something that needs to be submitted to God for healing, even though, like the homosexual struggle, you cannot say very simply that the person simply chose that and simply needs to choose a new thing. I think there is a need for real healing and a real move of God there in order for the person's gender identity to again come in congruence with that which they were born. I've worked with a couple people who have been transsexuals, and I've seen some good results. One individual in particular who was going through the hormone treatment was actually going to get a sex change, and who became a Christian in the midst of that, and who, as at this point, has accepted his maleness and is working out that process in the church. So I've seen some good things coming out of that, and I would say from a biblical perspective, it would be, like homosexuality, a call to redemption and to God's sufficiency to help a person correct that.
Thank you, Jane, for your call.
Yeah,
Andy, give us a little bit of your background. I know that you're doing graduate work now in psychology at Fuller. Do you get extreme cases in your ministry that you're just not equipped to handle?
Yeah. Like
Thank
every
you,
other
Andy.
One that we see.
And you send
don't
them
call
to my,
this number, please.
You send them to my church, is that correct?
Right. Yeah, there are oftentimes, you know, homosexuality is not the most pressing issue that people are dealing with. Oftentimes there are other things that we aren't equipped to deal with, so that we refer out to good Christian therapists, psychotherapists in the area, and they can be very helpful in working with us.
We have Rick from Anaheim. Rick, what's your question for Andy?
Okay, this is a real blessing for me. I've been struggling with this problem being homosexual all my life. And I've just turned it over to the Lord about 2 months ago. So hearing you on the radio tonight, in fact, my sister just told me about your program 3 days ago.
Wow.
This is a real blessing for me. My question is, first of all, I've been writing down your address so I can get in touch with Andy.
Good.
And get in with this program. I've been a homosexual, or had homosexual tendencies all my life, starting from fantasies I had all the way back into second grade. Now my question is, why am I gay? In other words, a person makes a choice some point in their life to become a sinner. They decide they want to take up cigarettes, they decide they want to start swearing, they decide that they want to be a thief. It's not a born instinct.
Right.
Yet for all my life, I felt like I was born a homosexual.
Caller, is that your only question?
Yes, my only question.
Okay. Thanks so much. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I can't say, because I don't know you and I don't know your background, it would be hard for me to give you a specific answer as to why you're a homosexual. There's a lot of factors that influence our sexuality. But what I would like to respond to you about, or two things I'd like to respond to, is first of all, you can have tendencies in a given area that result from being the product of a fallen world and not consciously, sinfully choose them in the same way that you would choose certain behaviors like cigarette smoking or stealing or that kind of thing. So it's still possible to have certain feelings, a certain bent in a given direction that is not God's intent for you, but that He does not hold you accountable for as if you have willfully chosen it. His desire, though, is to restore you and to bring you into what His intent is, regardless of what fallen factors have led you to that disposition. Secondly, there is no evidence hormonally or chromosomally to back up the understanding that homosexuality is inborn. There simply isn't that evidence. And most of the research seems to point to the early learning experiences within our family and within the environment in which we are raised that lead to certain deficits and certain misperceptions of who we are that can cause, even at an early age, the sense of being attracted to the same sex. And so if in your process of healing, and I'm very excited, I'm very pleased that you called, I think what you'll be working out in this process is what was it in your life that prompted this, and how, in fact, the redemptive power of Christ can be applied to the restoration of your early life. You see, God has a great deal of compassion upon you, and He knows exactly why it is that you feel that you do. And instead of standing outside of you, He wants to enter in there and do a new work deep within you so that you can be freed from the feelings that you currently have. And that's the good news.
Let me give the address again where you can get in touch with Andy and the Desert Stream staff. It's Desert Stream Ministry, 1415 Santa Monica Mall, Suite 201, Santa Monica, California, 90401. And the number of the Vineyard Christian Fellowship is 213-458-1811. My guest is Andy Comiskey, and you're listening to Introspective. Let me give the phone number again, 818-762-5552. Andy, you have a quote again in one of your papers which addresses homo-emotional needs, and you say, "The fulfillment of a homosexual, or more accurately, homo-emotional needs, is essential to a heterosexual development."
Mm-hmm.
When a person is coming out of a gay lifestyle, is there not, even after they go a long way towards not following that identity, isn't there a fear that there aren't, that every relationship with a man is going to somehow turn into a fantasy or turn into a difficult situation?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oftentimes for people coming out of homosexuality, they fear intimate relationships with their own sex after that, for fear that it will become erotic. But what that really stems back from is that in order to grow into heterosexuality, in order to secure a sufficiently stable sense of our own gender, we need intimate relationships with our own sex. That's part of the developmental cycle. And for many homosexuals, there seems to be a period where those developmental needs for same-sex intimacy are not met. And as a result, their homosexual feelings come to rise at a later age as an attempt at meeting those needs. And so part of the restoration, not the only part, but a central part of the restoration for people coming out of homosexuality is learning how to develop friendships with their own sex that can be intimate without being erotic. And that can be a real healing part of the process out. And that has to do with overcoming fears that every relationship is going to become an erotic one. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, when a homosexual person comes face to face with that intimacy need, they'll have to admit that at heart it's not an erotic need. It's an emotional one.
Yes.
And that emotional need can be met without sinning.
So Desert Stream provides, as you mentioned, flesh and blood people that are human beings. Mm-hmm. They've made a commitment for Christ, and they're there to help.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some of the upcoming events that you spoke to me about earlier.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to be teaching a class at Fuller Seminary this summer. It's a two-week intensive on pastoral care of the homosexual, which is perfect for people who are in church or counseling situations and simply want to become more equipped in dealing in this area. And I believe that begins July 21st through August 6th or something like that. Also, Colin Cook, who is the founder of Homosexuals Anonymous, which are a network of anonymous small groups across the country, is a wonderful teacher, is having a seminar on healing homosexuality in the church or something like that in September 20th and 21st in Orange County. And if you want more information on that, call Desert Stream and we will send you a brochure.
And also the AIDS ministry we mentioned with Jonathan Hunter, they can simply call the Vineyard number 213-458-1811 and get in contact with John. Right. We have a caller here, Val from Van Nuys.
You're on the air, Val. What's your question?
I know Christian men that have homosexual backgrounds and admit that they still struggle with the issue of sexual identity. And some of these men call themselves homosexuals as well as refer to themselves as Christians, and some of them absolutely refuse to call themselves homosexuals. I have a couple questions in reference to this. Is the term homosexual Christian a conflict in terms? And I'm wondering, do you think that there are better results, this is for Andy, in terms of healing for the homosexual Christian when they freely admit that they're homosexuals, or is the act of a positive confession, you know, saying, I am not a homosexual, is that a valid approach to healing?
Good question.
Thank you, Val. Can you be a Christian as you're at the same moment you're homosexual?
Yeah, two things. First of all, I think that the use of homosexual as a noun, as a way of fundamentally defining oneself, is a contradiction in terms when you're a Christian, because St. Paul is very clear that when we become Christians, secondary things that we used to describe ourselves by become obsolete, and we need to take the banner of Christian more than we do of being homosexual or heterosexual or whatever the case might be. So I think as a noun, homosexual, being a homosexual is in conflict with being a Christian. However, it's very important that individuals are willing to deal realistically with the fact that they are Christians who have homosexual tendencies. And that places the problem in the context of their primary identity, which is Christian, but still enables them to deal honestly and realistically with what they've got to deal with, whether they like it or not. So I guess I'm looking for more of a moderate position there, where you're still dealing honestly with what you got to deal with in terms of your tendencies, but those tendencies are not being given the power to define you as a noun.
Excellent. We have another call, Michael from North Hollywood. Michael, you're on the air.
Yes, Andy. I just returned to my gay Christian congregation. And I feel strongly that there are people who couldn't be reached otherwise with the gospel, except through the gay Christian perspective. And I was wondering what your immediate thoughts were on that. Or
you mean that could not be reached except through going to a gay church, or is that what you're referring to?
Yes, things along that line.
Yeah. Well, I think that. That the gay church has arisen basically because the church in general was not reaching in the way that it needed to people struggling homosexually. I don't think, though, that it is an end in itself, but rather that while individuals can come into a relationship with God in such congregations, if there is to be continued ongoing growth in the person's life, I feel like they outgrow the gay congregation. So I'm not negating the fact that a person can meet Christ there. I'm simply saying that as an end in itself, I think it becomes something that is deceptive and is stifling ultimately to their Christian growth. But where I see the need there is for the church to take a more active posture in reaching to individuals, making them feel like a part of the Christian community, so that there is not a need to band together with other homosexuals as an end in itself, in the body of Christ.
Again, thank you so much for your call, Michael. Again, the number is 818-762-5552. Our topic is the Christians and homosexuality and Christianity is what we're dealing with Andy Comiskey. And again, let me give you a number that you can call the Vineyard Christian Fellowship, 213-458-1811. We have another call, Shane from Long Beach.
You're on the air, Shane. What's your question for Andy? You're on the air.
Hi,
how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
You have a question for Andy, Shane?
I'm Okay, how does homosexuality change the Bible?
How does it change the Bible?
You mean what does the Bible say about it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Sean.
Well, the Bible points out that taking on a homosexual identity and living a homosexual lifestyle goes against what God wants for you. Pretty simply put. And that those people who find themselves at that position of not knowing, you know, what to do with those feelings really either have the choice of walking in a homosexual lifestyle or in seeking Jesus and allowing him to come in and to heal them and to cleanse them and to redirect their life. So that's what the Bible says about how people should deal with their homosexuality.
We got another question. John from Sepulveda. John, you have a question for Andy?
Yeah, my question is, you talked about the homosexual lifestyle, but I'd like to know if he recognizes a difference between those people that have a very promiscuous lifestyle and as opposed to someone who has a stable relationship, has been with somebody for a number of years and, you know, basically just like a straight married couple, only they happen to be of the same sex, whether it's two men or two women.
Right. There certainly is a difference there, although I would disagree with the premise that some people have that if it is, in fact, some kind of a long-term relationship, then that justifies it in the eyes of God. Again, I still go back to God's creative intent being man is male and female, as opposed to two individuals having a monogamous homosexual relationship. So there certainly is a difference between promiscuity and homosexual monogamy. But I, in my opinion, homosexual monogamy doesn't make it right in God's eyes.
We're coming down to our last 10 minutes. If you have a call for Andy Comiskey, you better call in now, 818-762-5552. Let me mention our guest list. I just mentioned on Wally's program before Introspective. Next week, June the 8th, we have Dr. Henry Morris III. We'll be discussing creation and evolution. We don't want you to miss that program. On the 15th, we have Bob and Gretchen Pazentino. We're going to spend an entire hour on the doctrine of the Trinity, its formulation and its history. And July 22nd, E. Raymond Capp is going to be our guest, and we're going to have an interesting and informative program on the Great Pyramid of Giza. Right now, we're going back to the phones. Dave from Redondo Beach, do you have a question for Andy?
Yes. Andy, I was born in a Christian home. My father's a minister. My mom was a missionary. And I know it's wrong biblically, but I feel like the other caller, I was born gay because as far as I remember, I was always attracted to men.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the Bible states that you know, Christ will never leave you or forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that go for me too? I mean, I don't want to go to hell,
mm-hmm.
but yet I still have all these homosexual tendencies.
Right.
And I've just now broke up a 5-year relationship the last couple of days, and I'm kind of devastated. I don't know what
mm-hmm.
to do or you know, where to go or
mm-hmm.
what to do next.
Mm-hmm. Dave, I don't think that the issue is so much your eternal destiny, because I believe that God will not forsake you, but I think in this lifetime God wants what is best for you and wants to do a deeper work of redemption in your life. And I think that for you that has to do with a willingness, especially now, to submit more fully the reality of your homosexual tendencies to him and to get the help that you really need in sorting out what has been a very difficult, uncertain history for you in terms of your sexuality. So I think at this point in time, to me it's not so much a matter of going to heaven or hell, because I trust you when you say you know the Lord, but rather what it is that God would have for you, his more of his perfect will for you, as opposed to just sort of, you know, hoping you make it in.
And so that's your goal at Desert Stream, isn't it, Andy, to be able to encourage and
mm-hmm.
help and offer materials and support
mm-hmm.
groups. Isn't that one of the basic heartbeats of Desert
yeah,
Stream?
Yeah.
Thank you for your call, Dave, by the way.
Yeah, like you know, what Dave is sort of intimating there is that I'm confused. You know, I don't know what to do with all this. You know, I'm at a crossroads and I don't know where to go. And I think that it's nice to know that you can work out some of those questions and concerns in an environment where people are going to point you to Christ and redemption.
And we'll mention that address again in case you've missed it.
Okay, we've got another call. Sandy from Diamond Bar, you're on the air. Do you have a question for Andy?
Yes. I want to find out, my husband's, I found out that he's had homosexual relations for the last year, and he wants to come out of it, and I want to know, what can I do to help him, you know, without being bitter and and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 'cause sometimes I feel like I have to walk on eggshells.
Right.
As to what I say.
How, this is an interesting question. Thank you, Sandy. How do you handle such a shocking revelation?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, you can't understate what a shock it is and the power it has to throw off a marital relationship. Sandy, my concern would be more for you at this point in time and your own support system. And Desert Stream has a group that is specifically for wives who are in your position. And so my first concern would not be so much for your husband as it would be for you. And I would encourage you to call the Desert Stream number and at least talk to someone who is my wife, for example, who runs the ministry, who could give you some words of wisdom. The key thing, obviously, is that your husband seeks support, that he find the needed support he has to work out his own sexuality. But at the same time, you're able to find support as you better seek to support him and sort of, you know, reevaluate in light of this huge revelation. So I would encourage you to call and to talk to my wife about that, because it's your need is as great as his right now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your call, Sandy. One more call very quickly. Richard from Santa Monica, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
My name's Richard, and I used to go to the Vineyard, and I've been to Bethel. And I just recently got back in town, and I'd like to know how you deal with, like, malicious gossip. I had a brother that he says he has a dream from the Lord that that he saw me as being a homosexual and stuff. And
you mean gossip about someone saying that about you? How would you deal with gossip with reference to homosexuality?
Well, if it wasn't true, then I would simply confront him in the hopes that he would not continue to tell other people that, or to intimate to you that that's a problem. So I think where it stands or falls is on whatever truth there is in it, and then to be upfront and assertive with your desire that it not go any further.
Well, thank you for your calls. We're coming to the end of another hour. Next week, as I mentioned, Creation and Evolution with Dr. Henry Morris III. And again, let me, in case you missed it, I've given the directions and address about four times or so. But Andy Comiskey, Desert Stream Ministries, 1415 Santa Monica Mall, Suite 201, Santa Monica, California, 90401. Or you can call the Vineyard number 213-458-1811. Now, you have a fairly large staff working with you, don't
mm-hmm.
you? You're pretty busy. You're not able to talk with everyone. I just want to stress that.
Yes,
in case
right.
you get
so,
deluged with calls.
So there's other people that can take the calls just as well as I.
Excellent. Also, for our listeners, again, the show is sponsored by Bethel Christian Fellowship and Wogan Chiropractic Offices. We need your support. We need your prayers. If you would like a tape of the program, it's I-200, Introspective 200, and the address is Introspective 29169 West Heathercliff Road, Malibu, California, 90265. Or you can call with reference to direction for services, 213-457-3741. Well, Andy, it's been an interesting night, and
yes.
I really appreciate you coming down and staying awake for an entire
yes, night. Praise
been a good
God.
Boy. Now you can go home. By the way, he has okay. to drive home in my convertible, so all
yes.
of you pray for him. Well, God bless you. Until next week, this is Craig Johnson for Introspective saying bye.
Thank you for joining us this week for Introspective. For a list of previously taped programs and for all correspondence, please address your letters to Introspective, 29169 West Heathercliff Road, Suite 9591, Malibu, California, 90265. Please join us next week for another interesting and informative hour. This program is produced by Bethel Christian Fellowship of Santa Monica, California, and is made possible by Wogan Chiropractic Offices in Encino, California, and the Friends of Introspective in this area.
Empire of the senses, you're the queen of all you survey.